Blog Talk Radio.
See this right here? I know y'all ain't ready for this. Mia X, Brandy.
I'm a work in progress. I'm a seed grown into a flower.
Yeah.
I'm a stone that's rising. I'm getting stronger with every hour. And God knows I ain't perfect. Tell me who in the world is. All I know is that I'm searching for somebody to let me win.
These parts of God, they're a part of who I am. Take me home now, but I finally understand. I'm so doomed, trying to be everything you want. Got to stop, maybe you ain't worth it.
Loved you, tried to do everything that you asked me to. How you like my hair, what I better not wear. And you ain't like my mom and them. You ain't really want me around my mom and them. You know I told a few bags and make a few scars. But I ain't never made you feel not by far. That I ain't got a flaw, don't acknowledge my issues. But you know I was with you. Stuff I'm coming at you like daycare's over. Living in your box of bacon soda. It's just over, it's just over.
Oh,
Yeah, we're live on Street Queens The Movement, and it's going down tonight. Tonight we're talking about basically, you know, when it comes to alcoholism. We're talking about alcoholism, how it affects people and how it affects your loved ones. Have you ever had that drunk uncle or, you know, drunk mother or father? Sometimes they can get violent. Sometimes they can just get so passed out that they don't remember what happened the next day. Or, you know, just they crave it, you know, almost like a crack thing. So we're talking about that. Is being an alcoholic, you know, just alcoholism, is that basically a disease? Let's talk about it tonight on Street Queens The Movement. That's on the first half of our show. Second half of our show, we're going to be talking about basically, you know, why did I get married to the movie? We want to know exactly what you got from the movie. And, you know, just go ahead and call in and let us know what you thought about it. And let's talk about why do people get married anyway, you know, in the first place? Like, honestly, like, why do they get married, you know? So that's basically the whole thing. So call in at 347-826-7722. We're talking about, you know, alcoholism. Call in at 347-826-7722. We're going to have our wonderful young ladies, Street Queens, call into the show tonight. And definitely shout out to MFE2K Magazine. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Lissette, Lynx, the whole squad, Ebony, everybody. We definitely, you know, want to shout out everybody that's out there that definitely supports Street Queens The Movement, you know, and Natalia and everybody. Tonight we're talking about alcoholism and, you know, is it basically a disease or what? So we're talking about it tonight. Call in at 347-826-7722. Peace, Queen Natalia. How you doing tonight?
What's up, family? How you doing?
Doing great, you know. You know, from my little hiatus and coming back and stuff, it's like, ooh-wee.
I forgot the number. I'm like, oh, Lord. I had a brain fart. I'm like, for real? I'm having to text the other queens, like, yo.
We're live on the line. You got any shout-outs, sis, before we get into this whole situation about alcoholism?
Shout-out to Natalia. I'm being funny and sorry. No, but to shout out to all the single moms out here trying to do the damn thing. I appreciate y'all supporting us and calling, you know, people calling in, you know, right now. It's tough for those single parents. I'm going to give a shout out to all the single parents, not moms, for doing the damn thing and taking care of these kids. You know, please take your kids and try to train them with morals and, you know, at least teach them to have respect. Because we have a lot of badass kids running around here that, you know, parents are being lazy about that shit, so.
That's real talk. That's real talk. I want to go into the quick statistics on alcoholism real quick and everything and talk about the whole thing, you know, being an alcoholic and just, you know what I'm saying, getting into a situation of DUIs and everything like that. I think Juicy Fruit might join us tonight on Street Queens The Movement. 3 million Americans over the age of 60 are alcohol dependent or alcohol abusers. 20% of suicide victims in the United States are alcoholics. Approximately 14 million people in the United States are addicted to alcohol or abuse alcohol. Alcohol is the third leading cause of preventable deaths in the United States of America. Most alcoholics seeking treatment in the United States are of the ages of 26 to 34 in the age group. In the United States, 66% of the population consumes alcohol. An alcoholic will negatively impact the lives of 4 to 5 other Americans, such as an associate, family, or friend, while under the influence of alcohol. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration estimates that there were 17,000 alcohol-related traffic fatalities in each of the last 3 years. So those are a couple little quick statistics when it comes to alcoholism and stuff like that. We're going to get into, basically some of the helplines, crisis lines, and exactly what alcoholism is, and also intervention, and what AA is and stuff like that, and talk about the myths and stuff like that, and what a DUI is. We're going to talk about that on the show, alcoholism. So, call in at 347-826-7722. Natalia, you got an experience or anything you want to share in regards to, a personal experience or just, talking about alcoholism in general, sis?
I mean, the statistics that you were just talking about, a lot of us deal with alcoholism. And my grandfather was one, and he was one of those violent ones. Even when he was up to 65 years old, chasing my abuelita around the house with a knife. I mean, and he was tiny, tiny little thing, but, he would go crazy. My mom is 14. She was traumatized, all this stuff happened in their homes. And, I dated some guys who abuse alcohol a lot, and it's very stressful on the relationship, the impact that it has on the family. It's just hard.
That's the sad part about it, children growing up as adults. Does the cycle continue as you become an adult from seeing and witnessing situations like that, Does the child take on the habits of the alcoholic mother or father or uncle, does the cycle continue? And, what kind of drastic measures does it take on a child? And alcoholism isn't something that some people even want to admit that they have a problem with, and we know, I know you coming from the Hispanic community. Is it kind of hard when it comes to admitting, or is it looked down upon when it comes to people asking for help or they need to get help?
Yeah, there was no. We probably had to deal with it, My grandfather definitely did not get any help. It got to the point that he had Alzheimer's, and it affected his, everything. And we were able to change him to non-alcoholic beer and him not realize it. So we were able to. He got really bad because he would literally start drinking at 5:30 in the morning all day. He was a functioning alcoholic, could drive. I mean, my mom, she told me I was ashamed, but, she's like, you rode with him, and I didn't know he was drunk until he got to the house when I was a little girl. I mean, but he was very violent, very, very violent, and that's the one thing I think that scarred my family. I was looking at some of the statistics, and they say 7,000 children in the USA alone under the age of 16 take their first drink. So every day there's 7,000 kids trying their first drink. And it's usually the top drug choice for children and teenagers. So, I mean, they say one in four children, under 18 years, they're being exposed to alcohol or some type of dependency in the family.
Yeah, and that's true. And I like I said, me being African and, you being of the, Hispanic culture, most of the foreigners we're introduced even in a European culture, they're introduced to wine because that's a normal thing for them. They're introduced to alcohol or alcoholic beverage at young ages. And the drinking limit in some countries are don't quote me on this, even a 16-year-old to drink. So, when you're exposed to different things like that, and then coming to the United States, it's totally different. And just, being in Hispanic culture and African culture, you're exposed to, these different things. But the thing about it is your limit, When is it too much? When do you know your limit? Because some people just binge to the point where they're passing out and they can't remember where they're supposed to be at.
Yeah.
No.
I know what my limit is. I learned that a long time ago. But, I mean, I think, you know, you're right, because I'm a first generation in the United States. You know, my mother came here when she was 8 months pregnant with me, and so I could be born here. And I know that when I had trouble sleeping, even, like, young, my uncle made, like, he would get milk and brandy and honey and mix it and would give it to us. And that was something that they did in Colombia, that they would drink, you know, to help them go to sleep, but they had problems sleeping. And that's, you know, their custom, you know, to take a shot, you know, with their food, aguardiente and stuff
uh-huh.
like that.
And not even just that, like, you know, I know, like, back even in some of, like, the Caribbean culture that I know, like if you had a toothache or something like that, they would, like I think either brandy or whiskey, you drink that kind of, like, the, you know, cure the toothache or something like that. This is a situation, like, an old-school remedy. So it's just, you know, just the situation of alcohol, like, this is a big problem in the United States of America and worldwide, and these young children are, even young ladies, since we're dealing with young ladies all the time with Street Queens, the movement, you know, we have to worry about the safety of our young daughters, the influences and stuff, you know, because, you know, they go to these parties and sometimes, you know, they drink and, you know, they have a friend and they're hanging out and it's after one drink and they might not know because of peer pressure and they're taking one drink after another and they end up getting passed out and they come back, somebody done raped them, God forbid, you know, all kinds of crazy things going on. So, you know, it's definitely seriously a problem. We need to educate our children. And also when it comes to, you know, family members, you know, if we can, you know, either pray for them or try to seek help or even try to talk. But I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. I think this is our girl Ann, the nurse, Miss Juicy Fruit, too juicy for you. What's up, girl?
Hey, Lushy Lush, how you doing?
Hey, what's up, sis?
Nothing much. I've been really, really busy. I feel bad for not calling in the last couple of weeks. But thanks for hitting me up on Gmail.
That's what's up. It's all good because we kind of were in a little hiatus and stuff, kind of regrouping and stuff, so it's okay. And
okay.
So you're joining us kind of refreshed anyway.
Yes, absolutely.
You know.
So we're talking about alcoholism.
That's what it is. Basically, we're talking about alcoholism. You also have Natalia live on the line, our other beautiful street queen live in the building. We want to ask basically the question is in regards to you know, with you, have you ever dealt with an experience in regards to, you know, on the uncle or a parent or anybody that, you know, just, you know, dealing with the alcoholism situation, or you've dealt with patients and stuff?
We definitely have patients who are alcoholics, recovering alcoholics. Family members I have, one or two. One of them, I don't know what he did, but he's gotten help and he's clean now. But his father, I think it's in our genes. His father is my mom's first cousin, and he could drink rum straight and not get
wow.
it. And you know, like there was a lady on the line before. She said that they would put like alcohol in the milk and give to the babies. You know, I'm from the Caribbean. In Jamaica, we do something similar. You put rum. If you have a toothache, you rub rum on the gums. If you have a fever,
yeah.
you rub the body with rum. We use it, you know, as medicine. And growing up, my parents were party animals, and every other weekend was a party. And we'd have uncles and cousins drinking, and we'd go from, you know, cup to cup and sip it. You know, they'll give us a little away, and we were good. Both didn't end up to be alcoholics. We drink and we can handle our liquor, but we've never overindulged that we can't, you know, handle it. Not that we've never been drunk, but my sister, I don't remember her being drunk. I've been drunk a couple of times, but it's not like I come home and every night I got to have something. You know what I'm saying? In my 20s, I was a prude. When I went away to college, I never drank. It's just now that with the pressures of life, you feel like you need a drink every now and then, but it's not like a regular thing where I have to come home every night and get a shot. I'm a, what you call it, social drinker.
Okay, okay. And that's another thing, like, you know, what's the difference between, a binge drinker, social drinker, and, you know, somebody that's just, you know, out of control?
Oh, the big difference. Big difference, you know. Social drinking, you only drink when, you know, you're in a social setting, you can handle it. You're only having two or three drinks. People who are out of control are out of control. They're drinking bottles and bottles. They lost their grasp on reality. To them, it's just maybe a cup or two when they've actually finished a bottle. You understand? They've lost track of how many drinks they've had, and they lose their grip on reality. And, you know, you become paranoid. You think everybody's out to get you. They don't want you to have fun. It becomes a mental issue than physical.
And that's true. I'm going to go ahead and open up the lines. If you're joining us right now on Street Queens, The Movement, we have the wonderful Emma of E2K live on the line, and we also have Natalia representing the Florida area, and we have Miss Juicy Fruit representing the New York area, Miss Ann, our nurse, and Emma of E2K Magazine. What's up, Emma?
Hey, how you doing, ladies?
Peace. We're talking about this alcoholism, sis. Talk to us.
I just called in, so I'm not too sure what anybody was talking about. I'm actually on the road. I'm in New York City. I had to come down for a family emergency. Someone passed.
Sorry.
I'm here with my family and all that traveling, but I still have to call in, you know, because it's just part of what we do. But I don't think I'm going to be able to stay on the line for the whole remaining of the show. But I'm going to try to hang on as long as possible.
That's what it is, sis. Lo siento, man. I'm so sorry about that, man. My condolences.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, man. We were talking about alcoholism, you know, basically, you know, the effects of alcoholism and, you know, how it affects, you know, people and, you know, out of control drinking and social drinkers and, you know, just, you know, different experiences.
Yeah. If you hear the baby in the background, because he wants to get on the line too, but... yeah, you're not going to control that. But, I mean, you know, I grew up in a household where, you know, there was a lot of drinking. You know, my uncles drank, and, you know, like everybody has, like, that drunken uncle in the family. I had several. I'm glad, you know, my mom's never drunk. She would drink every now and then her wine or something, but it was like, you know, not something that she bought beers or whatever. So I didn't have that. I didn't experience that with my mother. She didn't drink nor smoke. So I really didn't see that from her, but I did see it when we were like in family reunions and my uncles would come over or my aunts. You know, they just would go hard with the liquor or the beer. And, you know, it would be like just a whole big party. And to... somebody said something wrong, or somebody was too intoxicated, and then, you know, the argument, the fight, they'll start bringing up things from 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you know, what you did to that person 5 years ago, and then, you know, and then we had to go the remaining of the night, you know, holding people, you know, locking one in the bathroom, the other one in the room, and, you know, that whole stuff. So I kind of grew up already with that, like, just, you know, that I kind of got immune to that situation just being around that.
Yeah, that's real talk right there. Yeah, that's real talk right there when you're talking about that whole situation. Because, like, you know, it's like, I don't know, like, I mean, they call alcohol, I mean, and you're a nurse. I know they consider, you know, alcohol more of a depressant. you know, and so I think sometimes, you know, alcohol can trigger old emotions or old feelings of despair and anger, you know, therefore, you know, sometimes may cause, you know, the violent acting to come out, you know, that they might have had not done if they were sober,
right.
You know, but how do you feel about that, Anne?
It's only augmenting what's already there. If the person is already a peaceful person, then those acts of violence are not going to manifest. If this person is troubled, depressed, and, you know, have pent-up issues with anger, all that's going to do is magnify it when they drink. But the drinking alcohol itself is a depressant. It brings you down. It's not a high drug like marijuana or whatever, ecstasy. It's a downer. So it does bring you down. So if you're already depressed, it's just going to make your situation worse. Some people become weepy. They cry. Some people, you know, start fighting, lashing out. It's a mental issue. It's a disease.
That's what it is. That's what it is. Like I said, we're talking about alcoholism right now at the moment. We're talking about alcoholism. And later we're going to be talking about the movie Why Did I Get Married Too, and talking about why do people get married exactly. Like, what is the why do they get married? For status quo and stuff, that's in the second half of the show. But right now we're talking about alcoholism. It's a big thing that faces our community. And, you know, growing up in Hispanic cultures or just a foreigner or, you know, Caribbean, you know, sometimes we're, like, introduced to alcohol, you know, at an early age. And, you know, we use it for different remedies and different things like that. So we're talking about that right now. Do you know, old uncle or, you know, aunt or something, you know, people get out of control, or even yourself, in a situation where you had to have a wake-up call, like too much is too much, you know. We got another caller from 347 live on the line with us. 347, you're live in the building on Street Queens, the Movement. Peace.
What up,
Les? It's
Money L.
What's up, Money L? What's good, fam? What's up, King?
Good with you.
Ain't nothing much. Ladies, let's say peace to the King.
Peace. What's up?
What's up, Money L? We talking about alcoholism. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking about why did I get married too. But we just talking about, you know, how much is too much with the alcoholism, and just, you know, with young ladies and even young men, you know, getting, you know, so twisted to the point, you know, hey, this girl, she pops up pregnant, but, you know, you don't even remember what happened last night. You know, different situations that happened and stuff with the alcoholism, or, you know, growing up with an uncle that used to be too drunk and, you know, violent, or different things, you know. So how do you feel about, you know, the whole situation of alcoholism?
Well, my thing of it is, like, I lost a lot of people to alcoholism at an early age, so I really, like, I stopped drinking. I remember one, I had an incident, and I got real drunk. You hear me, Les? I got real drunk, and I wound up doing something that was crazy. You know what I'm saying? That was, you know, it wasn't out of my character, but it was kind of crazy, and that's when I had a wake-up call. And I just I think alcoholism really needs, like, people really need to talk to their family, like, do, like, an intervention or something. Like, that's, like, it's probably worse than drugs. Like, it's bad. Like, you know.
And that's true. And the worst thing about it is that it's legal. You know, at the age of 21, you're allowed to drink. You know, and it's legal, so we can't really, like, you know, it's like, wow, you know, we're going to put restrictions on it. People like to do it, and, you know, when you go to a club, or, you know, you got some people who are cigarette smokers, which I don't condone either, but, you know, without a cigarette, they want to drink, you know, so, and, you know, drinking, you know, it's different if you can hold your liquor. But if you can't hold your liquor and you find out, like, you're laid out somewhere that you don't even know, then that's too much.
Yeah, you're out of control.
Yeah, you're definitely out of control. Natalia, you know, did you ever feel like, you know, did you ever feel like you had one of those moments that you might have had drank too much and it was a wake up call for you, or has never you never been in a situation like that, sis? Natalia? I think she has stuff on mute.
My bad. Yeah. I mean, we've all been real drunk. Because we drink in our family. I say that I don't drink a lot. I'm a social drinker. I drink on the weekends. But I definitely... I hang, but I, you know, as soon as I feel nice, then I'm good. Like, if I feel nice at 9 o'clock, I quit drinking at 9. You know, and I give myself time to sober up. I don't allow myself because of, you know, what I do at the music conferences. I travel a lot, and I always roll by myself. So I can't allow myself to get drunk and, you know, be in a different city at any of these, you know, hip-hop events because there are people that prey on people like that, you know. But, I had a friend who got real drunk. She likes to drink to the moment they close the bar down. And she ended up passing out next to her car face down with the door open, and they robbed her.
Wow.
They caught it on video, the DVD. They had they had the night vision. So they were to see this girl on the ground face down. Yeah. And they tried to move her, but, you know, she bottom heavy.
Hello?
Hello?
Okay.
They weren't able to help, you know, help her, but she woke up and everything was robbed, her clothes, her jewelry, everything in her car.
Wow.
So, you know, you guys got to be careful when you, you got to just be careful.
Hello?
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 We lost Lushy? Did we lose Lush? Wow.
You know it's
lush? I guess so. She'll be right back on there. We got some more alcohol facts I was going to give out. Apparently, there is an alcohol-related motor vehicle crash that kills someone every 31 minutes.
Wow.
So every 30 minutes, someone is dying from a DUI or being, you know. And then every 2 minutes, someone is non-fatally injured, but they're seriously injured or in an accident every 2 minutes due to alcohol.
Mm.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, people are out of control.
And apparently, you know, alcohol abuse and dependency is more common among the males than the females. So I think males are kind of peer pressure more into doing it, you know, trying to be tough and who can hang and take the most liquor.
Right.
I don't know, Keen. Tell us about that, Keen.
Is he on the line?
Did we lose him too?
You're losing everybody, huh? Who is this on the caller? Who is this right now?
I think
I was referring to you. You're the one man on the air.
what you said?
I was asking you because it says that, you know, most men are, you know, they abuse. More men are tendency to have alcohol abuse and dependency than females. And I was saying that I think it's, you know, due to, you know, men trying to be tough, you know, see who can hold their liquor the most, you know, peer pressure between the guys, the machoism. I was asking you, the Keen, to go ahead and, you know, elaborate on that a little bit.
Okay, you're right. I mean, because, you know, men is show-off. Like, you know, they want to show everybody, like, they could hold their liquor. Like, they want to get the expensive liquor. Like, they want to drink, like, you know, show off for the ladies that they could drink or whatever, but... And a lot of them can't really hold their liquor, you know. But that's
the truth, man. I think a lot of dudes, right? Because you see all the binging and situation. Even when I was in the military, you know, being in the army, like, you know, it's like you're exposed to all that stuff. Because I never really got into the whole drinking thing until I got to the military. So you know, it's always like, and especially with the men, it's like a man macho thing. And you're like, come on, you can drink it, man. And, you know, with sororities, you got sororities and stuff like that. You know, it's like the thing to do, you know, with the whole college life. It's like you have nothing else to do but to drink. So with this situation, it's just like, you know, when it comes to young people, you know, it can cause a lot of, you know, you can have kidney liver problems, you know,
and all kinds of things because of due to, you know, alcoholism, too much alcohol consumption, and also, you know, impairment of your vision, you know, while you're driving. And, you know, we got a lot of DUIs and a lot of fatal car accidents due to driving under the influence, you know. It's a difference if you're a person that you drink and you're able to control it, or and also they say that they say in statistics that depending on your body weight, sometimes you know you're able to consume more than somebody that more of a smaller stature, you know, a smaller stature it'll go through you kind of faster, but if you're more of a you know bigger sized person or kind of you know on the hefty side, you might can consume more. And it might not bother you as much, you know. So I guess it's up to the individual, but, you know, you got some people, they want to prove a point. Even you got some ladies that want to prove a point, you know, to a man or something, you know. Oh, well, you know, let me drink this. I'm just going to prove a point. And at the end of the day, you end up, you know, somewhere that you don't want to be. Mm-hmm. You don't want to get to the point that you're so twisted and you're so out of it that you don't know where you are, you're in harm's way, and there's nobody around to help you at the moment, you know. And then you also know that when you're going out, you know, we also got the, you know, the date rape drug that they could throw that right there and you're drinking, you're gone. Mm-hmm. you know so it's a lot of things that we have to look out for, you know, for you know, young ladies and also men, because at the end of the day, hey, you could be a man and you get twisted to the point that, you know, you might liable to do something that you would never do in your right mind that might have you going, you know, to jail or going or being 10 feet under, you know. And it's all kinds of situation when it comes to alcoholism, you know. I dealt with alcoholism with my mother, you know, after my father died, you know, you got some functional alcoholics. You know, in her mind, you know, she felt that as if, you know, everything was cool. She didn't have a problem. You know, I used to say, you know, you're an alcoholic, Mom. Like, you really need, but you know, as being a foreigner, you know, they don't want to admit to the fact that they have a problem and they need help. So I used to tell her, I was like, 'cause she used to be violent towards me. I was going to high school. My father died, and you know, it was really depressing to her, and it was hard for her to get over it. So she would find comfort in alcohol. Like, she would drink, like, straight gin, like, you know what I mean? I mean, hard liquor, you know. And it was, you know, it was sad, and it hurt me sometimes. And, you know, she would just start, you know, fights, and she'd just be angry. She broke my finger one time, you know. And wow. It would always be, like, every, like, event or party or something like that, and she would just, you know, she'd start drinking, and it's just, you're waiting something old that might have happened, like, years ago, you know, she would bring up, and it would be a whole off-the-wall fight, and I couldn't be there, I would have to leave, or we would just get into it, we would actually fight. I was a little bit more rebellious when I was younger, so it was more of like, you know, I just can't take this anymore. As I get older, it's more like she's kind of calmed down, but it's like, you know, if it's a situation where she's drinking, I really don't want to be around. If it's like one drink or two, and it used to become a fight, and she used to do things that I wouldn't think that she would do on her normal mind, or just, you know, just say very verbal abusive things, or just being abusive, you know, at that time. And you know, I love my mom to death. I still love my mother, you know. But you know, it's just, you know, seeing that at a young age, you're like, you know, I don't want to go through that. I don't want to see my daughter have to see me, because I have a daughter. I don't want my daughter to see me go through something like that. Like, I mean, I went through a divorce with my ex-husband, and it put me through a lot. And, you know, I drunk, but I never got to the point where I was so pissed that I would take it out on my child. So it was just, you know, it was a lot dealing with that growing up. You know, I really didn't, you know, always, we didn't have a really tight relationship due to her drinking. You know, she never considered it alcoholism, because she can function with everybody else, going to work and everything, but when she gets that bottle, or she gets, you know, a couple of some Guinness or something or whatever, and it's on. It's get ready to brawl. You're ready to get ready to be in a fight, and you know, and it just put me to another place. And it, I mean, and then sometimes you feel like you don't want it to rub off as you are an adult. And as I got older, you know, when I was younger, I actually got introduced to alcohol when I was in the military. And then, you know, I drunk, you know, I didn't really see, like, what the phase was or whatever. And then, like, when I used to just get depressed, like, I used to, like, actually binge. And I would get, like, so wasted, like, I would just throw up. I never got to a point where I was, like, so wasted I was in a situation where I'm, like, oh, my God, like, I'm about to get raped or something like that. But I just, like, it was to the point that I just, like, throw up. And it was, like, you know, I wasn't satisfied, so I was so wasted that I would, like, throw up. And then I realized, man, I got to stop doing this because I'm going to end up, you know, killing myself, you know, killing my liver and everything. So I kind of, like, you know, calmed down, you know, to the point now I have more of a tolerance for it, but I don't OD. When I was kind of, like, younger, I could, you know, go bottle to bottle, but I can't really do that much now, you know, as I get older. You know, your system just can't take all of that stuff, you know. So, you know, like I said, if you're just joining us right now, we're talking about alcoholism, you know, how much is too much, and basically have you had, a father, a mother, you know, with violent acts due to alcoholism? And it's a big thing that we face every single day in the United States of America, you know, alcoholism. And, you know, we touch bases on it on the offside on Street Queens, the movement with, you know, we had a conference with the ladies and we touched on different experiences and stuff like that. And, you know, I want to talk about, you know, short-term and long-term health problems. Some alcohol-related drug problems such as interpersonal relationship issues, driving impairment, negative interaction with medications, and manifest themselves after drinking over relative short periods of time, other drinking problems. Also, these problems that represent the long-term effects of alcohol abuse, you know, it's different things. You also have health-related problems such as liver problems, and sometimes you can actually have alcohol poisoning. So, you know, you have problems with your, you can have abdomen problems, pancreas problems, and different things like that. You can have heart disease also. They have alcohol-related cancer. And they have liver disease. And you got also loss of brain cells, nerve damage, irritated stomach lining and bleeding from the stomach ulcers, epilepsy, vitamin deficiency, skin problems, muscle disease, infertility, sexual problems, and obesity. So, you know, it's several different problems that, you know, can occur, health problems from drinking. So, you know, these are different things to look at. We're not saying and preaching to you guys and say, oh, don't drink, man, you know. But, you know, if you are going to drink, you know, what you say, Natalia?
I said be smart about it. I mean,
yeah,
we're not trying to preach to you, but we're just trying to say be grown with it. Don't be out, because, you know, out there and acting a fool, acting drunk and throwing up and passing out in the middle, that's not cool. That's
no,
it makes us grown ass women look at you little boys and girls like, be grown when you go out and drink. Yeah, it's nice to feel nice, but don't let it get a control of you.
Right.
And I think we need to address though also like how it affects like pregnant women.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know with the alcohol fetal syndrome, it's different for, you know, it causes like facial abnormalities. They say 40% of mental retardation is caused from alcohol. And
wow.
It affects, you know, children will have to grow up with facial abnormalities.
Abnormalities.
Sorry, English ain't my first language. Growth retardation, brain damage. And they found out that a lot of these kids, like, they might learn a concept and they'll forget it the next day, and they might pick it up again later. it just affects the way they learn and are able to process things in their head. And it's a really a sad shame. Like the a lot of the, I was reading a lot of the fetal alcohol syndromes and a lot of what they have to go through in their life. I know that they say one woman can drink a wine every day of her pregnancy, her child could be fine, and another woman can drink one glass of wine and her child will have alcohol fetal syndrome. There's not a set amount or a safe amount for anybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate seeing pregnant women.
Well, they shouldn't be
drinking
at all.
No, I know. And, like, you know, I've been out in the clubs, and I saw one lady. She was in the back acting crazy, smoking a cigarette, drinking. I turned around. She was 7-8 months pregnant. And she told me, she was like, I'm so fucked up. I just took an ecstasy pill.
Oh, my God.
I'm panicking because the mom in me, I'm just like, oh, my God. And I look, and the girl had her mother with her in the club.
What?
And I was just like, this tells me a lot about your family. To be pregnant, and she was smoking pot, smoking cigarettes, taking liquor, and she was on E.
Wow.
So I mean, and you know, people think it's not gonna happen one drink. I recommend please don't.
Mm-hmm. And I also want to add that in the United States, we have this like Puritan outlook on everything. It has a lot to do with social attitudes, because in Europe, you can drink at the age of 15. They drink wine with every meal, and I don't think they're having the same problem that we have. I think we have this, like, forbidden syndrome that, you know, because it's forbidden or because it's taboo, that's what we want more, and it's a negative outlook on our relationship with alcohol, because in those cultures, alcohol is part of their social structure, their whole interaction with each other, with every meal. And we, on the other hand, we don't have outlets to express ourselves, to relax. You know, they get 6 weeks vacation. We get four. Some of us get two. And we're always working, high stress, no downtime. We don't live. It's work, 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 work. And if we're not dealing with that, we're dealing with unemployment, and I don't have any work, I'm stressed out, I can't find a job. So it's we don't have social safety nets. It's like, you know, you're on your own, and we can't help you. So some people can't deal with that. And if you have, you know, I believe that there's an alcoholic gene, you know, because there's some people who just can't handle the liquor. They, you know, one sip from the bottle and that's it, they're gone. It's like they don't know when to stop. I mean, there are other people who can drink and don't get drunk. You know, they can handle the liquor. They don't have to binge. You don't have to go to the bathroom and take a swig. It's social and individual at the same time.
That's what it is, man. And you know, this is real radio right here on Street Queens the Movement. You know what I'm saying? Because you know, Elmer was dealing with Baby Prince, and you know, Money L deals with the baby being a strong father that he is. He takes care of his seed, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you hear the baby in the background. Shout out to the baby. I love the babies, man, for real. I love the babies.
Let him know that he's always with me, like. I just heard a commercial last night. They got a new commercial, right? A lot of fathers not paying child support, so they got some things, like, they could go and voluntarily
Yes, I heard it.
But I was, you know, just to help the mother out, because a lot of fathers, I know a lot of guys that ain't taking care of their kids.
Wow.
And they think it's talking to me, they seem cool, like, yeah, yo, you know, to help with that chick, I ain't paying for nothing, I ain't doing nothing for that broad. And I'm looking at them like they're crazy, because literally that baby ain't actually get here, you know?
Right.
But that's another show.
That's real talk right there. And we wish a lot of, you know, some of our baby fathers would be more like Money L.
Mm-hmm.
For real. But he definitely, his son is with him, and he definitely takes care of his baby. And he's the cutest little thing right there with all his teeth in his mouth. He's cute. He always calls him bad, but he'll start the screaming and stuff. But he's a sweetheart. I love him. That's my little munchkin. But, you know, and we salute you for being a king and taking care of your responsibilities, man. Alcohol, what is alcohol? The scientific name for alcohol that people drink is ethanol alcohol or ethanol. Beer, wine, alcohol, beer, wine, liquor all contain ethanol alcohol. Other types of alcohol, such as rubbing alcohol, are poisonous if ingested. What happens when you drink alcohol? After you drink an alcohol beverage like beer, wine, or alcohol, it enters your bloodstream from your stomach and small intestines. From there, it travels to our brain. There is a slow reaction time, makes you less coordinated, impairs your vision, and even makes you also see things unclear. Your judgment is kind of out of whack. And also, we talk. People say, "Is some alcohol safer than others?" No, alcohol is alcohol. It's just about how much of the consumption you take. Why do people drink? Drinking alcohol is a social activity sometimes. Most people drink with friends. And because alcohol makes people feel less inhibited, they feel more at ease socializing after they drink. People also drink just because people are drinking. For many people, it feels good to be doing what everyone else is doing, but drinking just because everyone else is doing leads to problems, especially if you're not really a drinker like that and if you can't really hold your liquor. So sometimes, like, you know, me and majority of people that are on the line, but Money L doesn't drink, but, you know, we're more of social drinkers. But you have, you know, some people that drink because everybody's around and they're drinking, or, you know, they have situations where, oh, they're depressed, and they're trying to hide the demons in their life, and they don't want to face them. So sometimes they try to bury them through the alcohol, you know. And it's just like any other drug. It's a drug, and it is addictive. Don't get it twisted because it is legalized. It's a drug. I think it's worse than weed. How do you guys think? What do you guys think?
I agree.
I think alcohol is worse than weed.
Mm-hmm. Hell, I've never lost myself on weed.
I totally agree.
Lush, you hear me? This money up.
Yeah.
It's cool to drink, but when you abuse it, that's when it's become a problem.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it is worse than, it's worse than crack. Literally. Mm. Like, you know, when you driving and you drinking, you literally could kill other people. Like, you know what I'm saying? But when you smoking, you're killing yourself. Like, Is this crazy? Like, a lot of people don't think about it. They need to really do something about that, man.
Yeah, seriously. You know, and they really need to make the regulations. And then, you know, and then another thing, you know, when they do the prom and all that stuff, they graduate from high school, you know, we say that the drinking limit is 21. I mean, but you got these little kids drinking and driving, and they hitting other people and killing people out here. Driving. So, you know, where's the intervention? What's really going on? You know, let's talk about it. What's going on, America? Call in at 347-826-7722. We're live with our king, Money L, and our queen, Natalia, and our other queen, Anne, and we're talking about alcoholism. How much is too much? What do you think? 917, you're live in the building. Is that Emma again?
No, sis, it's Lynx.
What's up, Lynx? What's up, Mama? Peace, Queen.
Peace. I'm sorry I'm calling so late, but they pickpocketed me in the supermarket, and I took my ID, money, debit card, everything was gone. I had to go to the police station. So I'm not in the greatest of mindsets, but I needed to call in, you know, because this is something that is.
plaguing my family, so I want to hear about it and talk about it.
Yeah, we you know, this is one of our wonderful queens. She wanted to actually share about how alcoholism and just alcoholism affects her family and just her in general and stuff like that. I don't know if the phone's breaking up or it's loud over there where you're at. But Link, go ahead and share your story.
You already know it's loud with all these alcoholics over here.
Go ahead and share your story, babe.
All right, so I got several family members who are alcoholic and who are in denial and who do wreak havoc on everyone's life. It's taking a toll. My child's around me now. My child sees it. My nieces think it's cool. They're young. They do it in the streets. They go to clubs. They're so torn up. They're calling me at 3 in the morning to pick them up. And I used to go do it because I was scared something would happen to them. But when I came to the point where I'm leaving my daughter at 3 in the morning to go pick up my sister's daughter, something's not right with that picture. And I learned that I was enabling them and that they always knew they could count on me no matter how messed up they got. And although I live in fear of getting the phone call about one of them, I know that I have to give it up to God. And, you know, they choose that path. They're on their own. I try to give them information and talk to them when they're sober. But, you know, everyone's going to do what they want to do. And what you just asked, what is too much? Too much is when it interferes with your life and affects your family. I think that's when it's too much. And if you go out with your buddies and you have your drinks and your licks and you get torn up every once in a blue, I'm not condoning that, but that's a lot better than you doing damage to your liver, to your body every day, every time you come see the family, you're like this, you make a scene, everyone gets upset, you're not functioning. You know, they're functioning alcoholics, but the ones in my family ain't functioning, can't hold their job down. And then it's a financial toll on everyone else, so it's really... is a problem, and it seems to be in our tribes, our black and brown tribes. We just keep on, you know, that's the celebration, and my pops is in on it. He's the grandpa. Come on, let's have a shot. And I'm like, something's wrong with this picture. This shit ain't cool. Mm-hmm. But they just keep doing it, and because I'm the one who opposes it, I'm not with it. I'm the bitch. I'm the bad guy. I'm the party pooper. But I don't care what I am anymore. I'm going to poop that party and leave. I'm a just like my girl, Lauren Hill said, I'm a defecate all over.
Wow.
All over that party. Turn that champagne glass upside down. The party's over. I'm out.
Right.
You know, because I can't keep exposing my daughter to that, because then she's going to think, that's cool. That's the way you get down. That's the way families build on over alcohol. So, you know, any suggestions from anyone, I take it. Any sharing, I'll take it, because I'm in need right now, sisters. You hear me? I'm in need. I've done lost my money, my identification, and I want to hear something good right now.
We love you. We definitely love you over here. And, you know, I've been through that situation. And since we're talking about alcohol, let me share a story with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this really woke me up. This is why I always stay awake on a train. And I always stay awake on Greyhounds or anything. Let me tell y'all what happened to Lush.
Mm-mm.
Lush was getting a Lush, and Lush had came from, I was grinding, hustling, and back, this is my back in my hustle days. And, you know, back out in Houston, this was a town from All Stars, and they were selling, you know, bottles of Grey Goose, so it was cheap over there, so we were selling the bottles inside the club. So I had a couple bottles left. I was coming back to the DMV, And I was drinking, and you know I'm drinking, and I'm sharing the liquor with some of the passengers on there, and you know I had like $500 in cash right in my purse, and then I had my wedding ring, my wedding band that ex-husband had gave me, but we were divorced, but I still wore that stuff because it was a very expensive ring. And a couple of my other rings, and I had, like, took them off and put them in the bag, and also my passport and my ID. Lord have mercy. I'm drinking, and, you know, just having a good time. And, you know, I had my purse sitting, like, I was sitting on top of my purse. I was so twisted.
time I came to from the train, somebody done took my purse and stole my purse. I'm all the way in the DMV coming down from, like, Houston. All of my identification is gone.
Oh, wow.
Gone. Gone. My passport, my ID, my $500, my all of my rings were gone. I was running around like a chicken with my head cut off, and I'm like, I cannot, you know, get twisted like this again. And I'm crying and I'm running around. I had to go all the way to my old high school and get my high school credentials just to prove who I was so I can get another ID. And then, you know, thank God, God was good. Somebody found my passport in a trash can in Florida, and they sent it to me, you know. So I was like, wow. Like, it was crazy. So, like, so I will never, ever, ever get blasted on the train ever again. So that, you know, that was crazy. And, you know what I'm saying? But you know what? Gotta give you all your information and credentials back and stuff. But you know what I'm saying? I'm sorry that you had to go through that today. But, you know, God will definitely bring your stuff back for you, you know.
Well, yeah, you know, I posted it on Facebook, and one of the sisters on there said something like, I must put you, lift you up in prayer and ask God to give you 20 times of what you lost. And
yeah.
I just said, you know, maybe sometimes there's hidden messages for us. Maybe it's like you need to start over. You need to start over. You need to go through the process again to appreciate something. I don't know what it is. I'll figure it out, but I gotta go get my ID. I gotta go get my daughter's clinic cards. I got everything was in there. So
yeah,
I guess I'm starting over, and that's okay. I'm gonna be all right. It's just a little frustrating, but
sometimes God takes it from us and it gives us back 10 times fold. Sometimes situations like that happen to us, and it happened to me. And I'm telling you, it was crazy. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and bring in our other queen. Ebony calling live from California. We have Natalia live in the building and Lynx, and we have Money L live in the building. And in a few minutes, we'll be talking about why did I get married too. But right now, we're talking about alcoholism. And, you know, Lynx was sharing her story about alcoholism and how it affects the family. Peace, Ebony. How you doing tonight, Queen?
I'm doing all right. Thank you. How you guys doing? Peace, Queen.
Lush, Lush, I'm going to have to leave you now.
Okay, it's been a joy. It's been wonderful. Peace, Queen.
Thank
love
you.
Love you, and
peace, thank you too. And peace and love to the caller who's going through what, you know, that issue she's having right now.
Please, thank you, sis.
Remove yourself from the situation. Sometimes you have to cut family members off. What's more important is you and your daughter or your child. I don't know if it's a girl or a boy,
but that's
what's important right now. Sometimes you have to cut family members off. Eventually, you can't save everybody. If they don't want help, there's nothing you can do right now. You just need to take care of you and your daughter and make sure that she's safe.
Thank you. I appreciate the message. Thank you, sis. And you be well. Love and light.
That's what it is, man. That was Ann. She had to depart from us. But like I said, we were talking about alcoholism, and Lynx was sharing with us about, you know, her experiences. She has nieces, and, you know, she has family members that are alcoholics, and, you know, she's telling how it was trying for her dealing with them. And, you know, she's such an advocate of, you know, helping people. It's just so hard, you know, dealing with it and stuff. And Ebony also joined us live on the line. Ebony, do you have something to share in regards to alcoholism and stuff like that?
Yes, definitely. I grew up with my mother. She was an alcoholic. She's a recovering alcoholic now. But I never wanted my kids to relive what I lived as far as having a parent with being an alcoholic. First of all, they like to drink a lot, and they don't necessarily drink alone. Sometimes they bring people with them and have parties. So I subjected to a whole bunch of people being over to our house as a youth, you know, and everyone's getting drunk. And I'm looking at these people like, why the hell are you all getting drunk, you know, in the house with kids? I just didn't understand that concept. But by the time the party's over, you know, your mom's walking out of, you know, your mom's, everyone's gone, but your mom's passed out, you know. How about being an 8-year-old and waking up your mom and telling your mom, like, Mom, you know, can you come get in the bed? And she's speaking some type of language you don't even understand, you know. So you just look at that stuff and you're just like, I know that people go to alcohol for different reasons, but we need to be a little bit stronger to know that alcohol doesn't cure anything. A lot of it is a hereditary thing, too, because my grandfather is an alcoholic as well, but he's a functional alcoholic. So I deal with that on a regular.
That's crazy. That's crazy, man. That's, you know, so how is the relationship between you and your mom and stuff now?
Well, you know, when people don't live the right life, they feel guilty, and they can never forgive themselves for the things that they've done. I've forgiven my mother several times, and I try to live each day as a new day and not hold her to the things that she should be accountable for. But I still respect her. I still love her, but, you know, she's no longer an alcoholic, but on some day or some occasions, you know, she still does like to have a drink, but she's under so many different medications that she's unable to drink. And maybe that's the reason why she actually stopped drinking, you know, because of what it does to your health-wise. She couldn't do it health-wise. You know, she was drinking on 10 different medications and not eating correctly. So when she goes to the doctors and she's passed out somewhere and we don't know what's wrong with her, you know, we take her to the hospital and the doctor tells us she's borderline alcohol poison. Because the alcohol is not digesting, because she has no food in her system and the pills are there. So she's like drinking, even the little bit amount of alcohol she's drinking is mixing in with the medicine. And we were going to the hospital a couple times. I mean, going, having an ambulance come, and you have your kids and they're looking at their grandmother being carried away by ambulances, and they don't understand the reason what's going on. And it's only because she decided that she wanted to induce alcohol. You know, it's really crazy.
Man, that's and the sad thing about it is, you know, people when they're dealing with alcohol, the alcoholic itself is just hard because they don't understand that they are affecting their family members and people around them. Like we said in the statistics, you're going to affect at least 4 to 5 people, whether it's an associate, a friend, or a family member. You know, you might get so twisted to the point, God forbid, that you might have an accident that might kill somebody that affects somebody else's family. Or you might say the wrong thing because you're under the influence and offend somebody's friend. Or you might hurt your family member violently because you're under the influence. When is enough? When is too much? You know, when is enough? When is it enough? So some of the things that I say that we suggest, you know, to get help is try to suggest counseling. I know some people are, like, headstrong, and they're like, oh, man, you know, I don't have a problem. The first thing is denial. But the thing about it is that, you know, you have to talk to them and basically let them know that you know they have a problem. You have to talk to them, suggest it. If not so, then, you know, try to see if you guys can do like a council thing with family in general. Pray for them. Some people, like at my church, when my pastor said that stop trying to find living things in things that are not living. Change comes by willing, and sometimes change comes by force. If a person is not ready to transition in their life and ready to step into the new life, into the new beginning, sometimes it is hard, you know, for them to change and step up out of that situation. So sometimes it is hard. So, you know, we're talking about that. Sometimes, you know, it's hard. Some people don't want to get help. Some people want to stay in that position. Some people, you know,
won't change until something drastic happens to them. But you cannot become that enabler and always being there to, when they pass out, to lift them up, or, you know, you can't always be there. Sometimes they have to learn on their own. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about alcoholism. And, you know, we're going to go to a song real quick, and we're going to come back. And we're gonna do our final thoughts right now on alcoholism, and then we're going to transition and talk about why did I get married to, and what did you get from it, and, you know, the movie that you suggest people should go and see, and why do people get married. We're going to talk briefly about that. But I'm going to go ahead and ask Natalia your closing thoughts on alcoholism.
Oh, I have to go first. Okay. Well, I think that, you know, be aware around your company, and if you see that someone's having a problem, you know, a lot of people, it's not how what you say, it's how you say it, and how people, how they take the defense to it. You know, how you say something to them, it depends on whether they will accept your message and what you're telling them, or they will, you know, push away from that. I ask that people just drink responsibly. There are a lot of kids and family that are here that are affected by, you know, the alcoholism that, you know, runs in our family, especially like as we were talking about earlier in our Latino families. It's very common for all of us to be drinking, and it's not viewed as a problem. Sometimes people are too prideful to admit that they need help. So I think that we spoke about a lot of facts today, you know, a lot of statistics, you know, to see that someone dies from a drunk driving accident every 30 minutes, that's a lot. I mean, it's killing a lot of people, and we just got to be more aware of this whole situation and try to, you know, educate others and educate ourselves more on the situation.
That's a good talk right there. And Lynx, your final thoughts on alcohol.
Well, there's something I read once, so I can't remember it. But it says alcohol, I think it's alcohol is like love. The first kiss is magic. The second is intimate. The third is routine. And once you get into a routine, it's hard to give it up, and it's hard to get out of that routine because you get comfortable, just like in a relationship, you get comfortable. And you believe that you can indulge whenever you want. And it's just like any addiction. And it's a violent jolt, you know, to the people surrounding, watching, who love these people. It's just it's you know, you want to know how to break this cycle, and that's my closing thoughts. I just want to know how can I break this cycle. I'm trying, but I'm just one person, and I'm getting opposition. But like you said, sis, lift it up in prayer, because the truth is, alcohol doesn't console. It doesn't fill up anyone's emotional or psychological problems. All it replaces is the lack of a higher being, a higher purpose, and it doesn't bring comfort. I know that's right.
That's real talk right there. And Ebony, your final thoughts on, you know, alcoholism.
My final thought on alcoholism is basically, people drink alcohol to escape something. Either they're escaping their past, they're escaping something tragic that happened to them, and or they're escaping their problems now. You know, you get stressed out, I need a drink. You know, someone's always looking for a solution or device to help them with their problems when the problem relies in basically you. You're the only person that can change who you are, what you do, and how you do it. And you can only do that by, you know, by the higher being. And I would just say basically with people who are dealing with other people who have alcoholism, prop issues, you know, make sure that you keep your, you know, you let your kids, you can't keep your kids and your family away from, you know, your family because they have problems, because we're supposed to love each other as we would want to be loved. And you got to think of it like this. If this was you, you know, what would you want someone to do for you? You know, so many times when people do have habits, habits are forming, you know, and they've been doing that for quite some time. We get frustrated. Yes, we do. But we have to take a look at ourselves and figure out, like, if I was in this situation, really, you know, how would I want somebody to come to me, you know? And we can't enable people, you know. We definitely have to be able to be strong and show them tough love, you know. Continue to talk to them. Continue to let them know that how it's, you know, messing up their liver and how it's going to cause sclerosis of the liver and what health effects it's going to have on them. And let them know how it hurts you. When you drink, you know, when you drink like this, this really hurts me. Maybe if they can stop being so selfish sometimes because you're telling them, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, and letting them know how that what you're doing is affecting you, you know, emotionally, maybe you can appeal to them in that type of manner, you know. Let them know, this, when you do this, I hurt, you know. I hurt for you, I hurt for me, because we can't have the relationship that we used to have, because when you're drunk, you're not a nice person. Or when you're drunk, you hit on me. You know what I'm saying? People have problems. They need to go find someone that can help them with their issues if they're ready to be helped. But we all know, being, you know, growing up as grown women and from being teenagers, when you don't want to hear something, you're not going to hear it. That doesn't mean, you know, like a kid. You tell your kid something, they don't listen. Does that mean you stop teaching them? You stop telling them not to do that thing? No, you don't. You continue on. You have to press forward and maybe and pray for them. Definitely get a prayer group together, you know, and maybe one day that person will say, you know what, thank you, because you never gave up on me, you know. Mm-hmm. You always told me what I needed to hear. I wasn't ready to hear it, but you never gave up on me, you know. When that light comes on in that person who has been dealing with these issues for so long, you know, then you can feel good about it because you didn't quit on them. Because you wouldn't want anybody to quit on you.
But I think there has to be a balance with that, because if you're doing it too much, or if you're, I mean, it's always, anything you want to help someone with, it's always good to come from a place of love and be loving in the action. But when it's costing your own immediate family, your child, strife and unnecessary problems and unnecessary exposures, I think, you know, there has to be a time, like the other sister said, you got to remove yourself. Doesn't mean you don't stop loving them, and you can make a phone call and you can say, hey, you know
exactly.
what, I miss
exactly.
you, I love you, I just can't be around
exactly.
that.
Exactly, exactly, and that's how you show them tough love.
Yeah, because, you know, alcohol, what it is, alcohol to them is necessary because they have a low opinion of themselves. So they need the alcohol to feel better about themselves. And so, you know, whatever you do with an addict is to come from a place of love and understanding. I'm all for that. But not when it
mm-hmm.
puts you in a hole. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Definitely. You don't want to hinder yourself by helping somebody else. But
mm-hmm.
you can still continue to have that conversation with them when they're not drinking. You know, you can tell them, like, you are such a lovely person when you're not drinking. You know what I'm saying? You can have the conversations. You can try to uplift them in different ways and let them know that things could be this way if you just stop drinking, you know? And then I'm not saying to involve yourself to where it's going to hinder you. Definitely not do that. But you can still continue the relationship from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
To where
that's
it's not going
it
to hinder you. You're still reaching out and you're still showing your love, but just not giving
mm-hmm.
up. And when you're praying for somebody, you're still not giving up because you're asking God to be there in your place because you can't handle it all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the battle is not yours, it's the Lord. And you got to put that in His hands.
That's right, Ebenezer.
That's what it is. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the truth. You never lied about that one. Like I said, the battle is the battle, and you know, you gotta sometimes we gotta just put it at the altar and pray on it, and you know, because some people will not move, some people will not shake, you know, if it's not something that drastic that happens, and the willing will only move unless it's their time to move, you know. And you know, sometimes we want to save everybody, but we can't save everybody. They have to save themselves. So we just pray for those, and we want to you know, shout out to all the families that have, you know, lost a loved one to alcoholism, you know, and people that have recently, you know, died of car accidents due to alcoholism, you know, I pray to go out to the families and everything like that. You know, it's not an easy thing to deal with. This is something that takes time. It's a process. AA, it doesn't make you feel like you should be ashamed of anything. If you have a problem, seek help. Seek help for whatever situations you're going through. And I definitely believe in miracles. And I got this song from Mambo Sauce there in the DMV. It's a go-go band. But this song is called Miracles. And when we come back from the song, we're going to be talking about Why Did I Get Married Too?
All right, sisters, I want to say goodnight to all of you. I have to leave at this point. I got to get my daughter ready for school tomorrow. I got to wash her hair. But I thank you so much. I got a lot from it. I appreciate all of you. Much love and light. And keep me in prayer, please. Link Garcia, Street Queen, numero, what, 15?
the
I love you, Lush. All right,
love
ladies, goodnight.
That's what it is. That's what it is. We're going to go to this song, and we'll be back on Street Queens the Movement. We're going to touch a little bit on that and talk about why people do get married real quick and talk about our new that we got going on and talk about next week's show. And we'll be back in a second on Street Queens.
This is Nas, Jimmy Black.
Yo, you rocking with your man, TJ.
Yeah, this is your boy, Black Ice.
Your boy, Too Short.
Yeah, it's your man, Boss Hog.
This your boy, Ace.
Yo, this is John Legend. What's up, man? It's your boy, Real C.
This is my man, TJ, brother, in the world of Indiana, TripleplatinumMoneyGuard.com. Tell your three queens the movement, you know how they do it. Holler,
yo, it's your girl, Leslie. Let's back in the building on Street Queens, the movement. And we were talking about alcoholism. We talked on, you know, different aspects about it. But we're switching gears, and we're talking about marriage. Why did I get married, too? We already know that the blockbuster hit from Tyler Perry. We already know Tyler Perry, every last movie that he comes out with is a blockbuster hit. You know what I'm saying? You know? So basically, we're talking about why do people get married? Social status quo. For financial reasons, get married because it's always been their fantasy, or just to have this fairy tale wedding, because I got her pregnant and I think it's the right thing to do, or it's an arranged marriage. Why, or do they actually love each other? And we're going to talk about this movie. What did you get out of the movie? If you did see it, call in and let us know what, Ben, if you got something out of it. What do you feel were the key points on the movie? Tell us what you thought about it. Don't give the whole thing because you got some people that haven't watched the movie yet. But we're going to talk about that tonight. Real quick, we're going to touch bases on it. Ladies, have you guys seen the movie yet? I hope I'm not the only one.
I didn't see it, but I heard about it. I was supposed to go see it last night, but I ended up not going to go see it. I didn't feel like it. But my daughter's fine. She told me all about it. So I can live vicariously through her.
Natalia, were you able to see it, Natalia?
No, baby, I sure did. I'm trying to find the legal version of it right now.
There they go. They off the hook. Money L, you live on the line with us, Money L? 347, you're live on the line. Is that Money O?
I guess that would be me, Lissette.
Oh, hey, Lissette. What's up, Lissette? What's good? Sorry, my bad, sis.
Peace,
hey,
queen.
Peace, peace, Lissette. Lissette, Lissette, that, were you able to see the movie?
Should I lie or tell the truth? No, I didn't get to see it. I was supposed to go yesterday, same thing, and I got caught up going to a fast food joint instead.
Well, I guess we can't fully talk about the movie in general, but we could just talk about why people, you know, get married and stuff. But I think the only two people that's, you know, Natalia, have you been married before, Natalia?
No.
Or got it? Huh?
On this, no.
Have you been engaged before, at least?
I've been engaged a few times.
Okay. Okay. So we'll just talk about, like, the leading up to the engagement. Why did you want to get engaged and married and all that stuff? And Lissette, you've been engaged and stuff. We want to talk about that also. And I think me and Ebony have actually been married and stuff like that. So I've been married and divorced. So, you know, well, snippets. Huh? Go ahead. So snippets. I want to, like, snippets, you know, a lot of people nowadays, it's a fad to get married, do the expensive wedding, and get divorced, like, you know, 3 months later. It's almost like it's the thing to do, you know, and then you have the situation where you get divorced, they say it's cheaper to keep her, so you stay separated, you guys are living your separate lives, you know, because you're scared to let that money go, you know. Like, you know, when you get in the marriage, man, you know, the traditional way they tell us getting married, you know, is, you know, to death do us part. You know, you got to be fully in love. You're dedicated to this one person. But you got people that they got married to other people and then they marry you and, you know, and you're still married. And legally, that's not a legal marriage. But, hey, you got married in two different states. You got all kinds of different situations going on. You find out that he isn't who he really is, you know. You know, his name is different. You know, you got all kinds of stuff going on. So why do we get married? You know, that's the question, especially ladies. You know, we always grow up and we're taught that, you know, as we get to our careers and professions, as our biological clock is ticking, we have to, you know, have a baby and do the marriage thing, you know. So it's we're trained to get married, get the man with a lot of money, or get the man that's the lawyer or doctor. We're trained to do this. Is this a status quo for society, or is this something that we truly, clearly want, or is this to just fit into common society? Why do people get married? Are you looked down upon if you shack up versus getting married? Let's talk about it. Sometimes people even treat you better when you're shacked up versus being married. Seems like sometimes you get married and stuff get worse. Let's talk about it. Why do we get married? Let's start off with my girl, Natalia. What you think?
God, I knew you was going to come this way. Well, I look at it this way. I never got married. I know a lot of the girls, like in high school, as soon as they got out of high school before, they thought it was real cute to go get married to their boyfriend. I look at it like I skipped my starter marriage. They say, like, your second marriage is really the one that's really good for you. So mm-hmm. I think I skipped my starter marriage, but I think the reasons that you gave before, people get married for mostly all the wrong reasons than the right reasons. You know, pregnancy, oh, she's really fine, I need to tie that down, even though that lady don't got much substance, you know. I think it's quite a few reasons, you know. Not many people marry, they think they're in love, and then they fall out of love, and they don't realize that relationships are tough. There's going to be days you don't want to be there. And a lot of people, as soon as they feel that urge, they want to leave the relationship instead of working through it.
Mm-hmm. That's true. And Ebony, talk to us. Tell us something now.
Let's see. Why do people get married? sometimes people think that it's the right thing to do, you know. Some women pressure men into doing it. Never really heard about a man pressuring a woman to do it, but, you know, when they feel like when you're dating somebody that you should be looking for husband material. And, or why should you be in a relationship? But I think there's different levels of being in a relationship, you know, from your young, from your teenage years or what have you, to your early 20s to your mid-30s. I think that people are, you know, people grow up and they're different in different, you know, different ways. But sometimes people believe that they've met their soulmate. And they feel like they want to spend the rest of their life with that person. And the honeymoon ends, and the relationship goes south, you know? And instead of them fixing it, you know, they decide to go, you know, through with the divorce. Some people get married, you know, because they're pregnant, you know? Let's start a family. Or I want to make you an honest woman. Or you need to make me an honest woman. So some of it really doesn't have to do with love. I think a lot of people get married when they're just in instant relationships. You know, they're too busy trying to start off the relationship with sex, where there's really you misconstrue sex for love. You know, because there's no substance in the relationship. There's no good conversation. You're not friends. You really don't even like each other when you actually take the sex away. So there's different reasons of why people get married, you know. But
Why did you get married, Ebony?
I got married because I felt like I was in love with my husband, with that man that I was getting ready to marry. And I felt like, you know, that he was a person that I honestly could see myself with years to come because he infiltrated himself. He wasn't really who I thought he was. He put on a good act for quite some time. And he was at the point where he actually started, it sounds really crazy, but it feels like, you know, when somebody wants to really, when someone thinks they really love you, and the love is not pure, it's more of a, I won't say fatal attraction kind of, you know, but when people get to the point where they're actually trying to, like, they don't want anybody else with you, so they feel like this is what they want to do, basically, you know,
mm-hmm.
And it's more of a selfish reason. And, you know, I find out later that was more of what it was instead of actually that person really loving me for me. I think it was more of a selfish reason. He really didn't want anybody else to have me because it was more of a self-satisfaction thing to him. But when I found out about it, you know, it was a little bit too late because I felt like if I made a vow with the covenant with God that I was going to stay in that relationship. And when the relationship became abusive, so I could no longer stand that relationship. But honestly, if I wouldn't have been in an abusive relationship, I would have kept my vows, you know, to heart. And I would have tried to do whatever it was that I could have done to make the relationship work as long as I knew that I had, you know, some effort from him.
Mm-hmm. And that's true.
Because that's the reason why you should get married, because you want longevity in your relationship. This is the person that you decide that you want to stick out the rest of your life. I honestly knew I shouldn't have gotten married at the point in time, but, you know, I did get pregnant, and I was basically like, you know, this is what, if we're living under, we're not going to be blessed. Anything we do, we're not going to be blessed, you know. And let's build our covenant and let's start our life together. And it worked for a moment, but, you know, the devil is always busy. He doesn't want to see unions. And when somebody is infiltrating and pretending they're, you know, someone that they're not, you know, it's an illusion. It's not really what you thought it was.
Well, that's the truth. That's
I had to separate myself from that relationship, from that man, because I'm not anybody's punching bag.
And that's real talk.
But I want to do it again.
I
would get married again, you know. I really would get married again because it's a beautiful thing when it's with the right person. You know? But you have to know, you really never really know someone, but you can see by their actions and by their words if they really mean what it is that they're saying. And I definitely would do it again.
And we hope that whoever that you do decide to get married with is the one that, you know, that higher power chose for you and, you know, and loves you for all that you are. Definitely. And I want to ask the set, you know, why do you feel some people get married, and what do you feel is mostly nowadays the main reason why, and what made you get engaged or wanted to even get married with somebody? What's that?
Well, I actually got married at a very young age. I was about 21, 22 years old. And at that time, well, you know, nowadays I'm married, divorced, been there, done that. But I got married when I was about 21, 22 years old. And at that time, I'm going to school. I had a job, but I was living with my folks. So here I am dating this guy, and we were together for maybe like a year. We really cared about each other. We were in love, young, you know. And my parents are old school, so it was basically like I would come, you know, go to work, go to school, you know, hang out a little bit after work with him and the friends, and it became a routine. So eventually it's like, you know, my parents were, well, you know, here you are coming home at 1 o'clock in the morning quite often, you know, what are you doing? A respectful young lady doesn't hang out until hours of the night with, you know, whatever guy. If he's serious about you, you should get married. So this was basically drilled into my head for like about a year, and eventually I said, you know what, I love him, he loves me, and I know I shouldn't get married because, you know, I want to finish school and I want to, you know, get my ducks in a row, but since they want me out of the house so much, I'm just going to go and get married. What's the worst that can happen? We love each other anyway. So in my situation, it was kind of like, you know, the old school parents saying, you know, get married is the right thing to do. In my mind, I knew that it wasn't the right thing to do because we were too young. And at that time, my goal was actually to, you know, live rent-free until I finished college and then get the hell out of the house, you know. And, you know, God dealt a different hand. I don't regret it because it taught me a lot about, you know, being a stand-up woman, knowing how to take care of, you know, the bills and rent and knowing how to treat a man and things like that. I learned a lot from it, but it was something that I should not have done way back when, you know. But I agree with my queen. I would do it again, you know. I'm about to be 29 years old. Things are different now, you know. And I was actually taking a look over the internet, and according to society.com, married people actually have lower rates for a variety of illnesses. For example, they're less accident prone than singles. Singles are more likely to have like car accidents or die of heart disease, liver caused by liver problems caused by drinking. And it also shows that married people drink less. The widowed or divorced actually drink more. So in this case, people get married not to drink so much. But a lot of the time, like, the underlying, you know, fact is that a lot of people get married not to be alone, you know, because at the end of the day, being alone is actually painful, and it's kind of like a slow suicide, and it shows that single men are more prone to committing suicide than those who are married with families.
That's true.
According to
society.com. That's true. A lot of people don't want to be alone. I'm going to tell y'all honestly, when I got married to my ex-husband, my daughter's father, you know, you're young, you're dumb, you're rebellious and stuff. You know, he was a little bit older than me. I got married when I was like 22 or so, you know. And, you know, he... he was like real like he looked like what's his name? Sean Paul a little bit. He had green eyes. You know, he was Guyanese. He was Guyanese. I thought he was Puerto Rican, but he was Guyanese, and he was a coolie, and they crazy as hell. You know, not all of them, but, you know, he was crazy, and they family were, like, racist and stuff. So, I mean, my body was bad back in the day. I was in the military, you know, and, you know, I see him, you know, I met him. Now, let me tell you, I met him on MySpace now. I met him on Black Planet. I met him on Black Planet back in the day, okay? So I was still doing my little rapping thing, so I asked him to give me a ride, you know, when I was going down to Baltimore. You know, we happened to, you know, meet each other, you know, we kicked it off. I was all in love, and you know, I had a little like boyfriend that I used to talk to, but he was psycho. He's kind of obsessive and shit, and kind of crazy. So I kind of had to let him go. So I didn't even really plan on seeing my ex husband the next day when we met, and he was older. I think he was like 29. Or in his 30s, I don't know. No, I think he was actually in his 30s because he lied to me about his age. So, so like we're you know, and the next day like I saw him or whatever, he like gave me a chain, like bought me this like ruby chain, and I was like, wow, you know, he's like, he was all like this you know, too good to be true man and stuff, you know, sweeping me off my feet. And I'm talking about romancing the mess out of me, right? So I'm sitting here like, okay, well, you know, so my mom was getting on my nerves, and I was, you know, I was young, I was, you know, looking good, and I was in the military, and I'm like, whatever, you know, and my mom was telling me, and I'm gonna tell you, ladies, people listening, or if you're young and you're trying to, sometimes when your parents tell you that this ain't the right man for you,
it's not the right man.
Sometimes he's not the right man for you. My mom, even though, you know, sometimes she do things that I don't like, she said, babe, this is not the man for you. He's going to put you through some stuff. And I said, and you know, when you're young and in love, you don't see nothing but you see that person. And I was so, I mean, I put this guy so higher than even God on the pedestal, that I loved this guy so much, I was able to give him all of my soul and everything. And come to find out, this guy lied about his age. This guy was married before, didn't get a divorce and married me. I don't want to have a kid by this guy. He cheated on me, verbal abuse. You know, after a man gets you pregnant and your body starts changing, you're very vulnerable. And to hear your husband, the person that you sacrifice your everything for, is telling you you're fat, you're unattractive, and this, that, and the third. And I almost died having my daughter. Like, I freaking, like, you know, my ankles got so bad, swollen, and I had an injury from the military, swollen up so bad, like, I almost went into a coma because, you know, my blood pressure was so high and
was
everything.
Was it toxemia?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had toxemia too.
Yeah, and I was like so stressed out by him. Like, I was like, you know, I was about to, like, you know, go up there to the pearly gates and stuff because he had me so stressed out while I was pregnant. He was verbally abusive. You know, trying to choke me and everything. And one day I just, you know, beat his ass. I just beat the living mess out of his ass, and he called the police on me. But, I mean, it was so many lies. And he, you know, at the end of the day, if the person that you're with isn't right with that higher power, or they're not righteous in their own way and they don't mean the best for you, it's you can try to hold on as much as you can, but it's not right for you. And that higher power, the God, will always find the right person for you. We can't try to force ourselves on people or forced love that's not existent. And at the end of the day, I was trying to find love in somebody when I didn't truly really love myself inside. I had to fix myself. And I put all of my everything into a man when really I needed to put my everything into myself. And he hurt me. He hurt me so much. I had to go see a psychiatrist. I wouldn't take care of myself too well. And, you know, I was just depressed. And I had to pray and pick myself up. And it took a long time, but I picked myself up. And I took care of my child, and I did it. But, I mean, you know, being married is trials and tribulations. Sometimes it can be good. Sometimes it can be bad. We always hope that it can be good, but it's a learning process. It helps us learn. The number one thing in relationships is communication. Communication, trust, and understanding, and able to adapt and compromise sometimes, but never lose yourself in a marriage. When you lose yourself, you lose your identity, you know. You know, you lose your identity. You lose who you are and who you used to be. You can compromise in order for that person, but don't lose yourself and let that person have control over your life, you know. Because we get some situations with men where they're so controlling, they don't want you to be around your friends, your family, or anything. So they control you, you know.
One thing I remember from my wedding is you're standing there in front of the pastor, and, you know, some people have one glass of water, you know, bride and groom have a glass of water, and they pour it into one jar. Well, I had a candle, he had a candle, and we lit one big candle. And that's basically what marriage is, like actually uniting, you know, your everything you have inside, your powers, your love, you know, your pain, bringing it into one source, you know, because you become one team, you know. And a lot of people are so selfish that they kind of, they're out for themselves and forget that, you know, that little candle ceremony right there, that you're actually joining your flame, creating one flame, you know. And the number one thing in a relationship should be a higher understanding of God, because, you know, if you don't love God, you know, if you don't have that guidance, you know, we can get lost, you know. So it's important that you're with somebody who has, you know, a good understanding of the Most High, in order for you to make a relationship work, you know, whether, you know, you go through the good times and the bad times, it's really that understanding of the Most High that can get you through it as a team, you know. So we go through this stuff, good and bad, and Lush is a wonderful woman, you know, wonderful woman, experienced and seasoned, and she now can teach the young ones about this type of stuff, you know. So... It's just, I think having that love for God also is an important key, aside communication and trust, you know.
Definitely. And guys and people out there, I'm not going to shut love down because of one bad experience on love. You know, you don't judge people on past experiences. Another thing that we get caught up in relationships is emotional baggage. We pass that on and dump that from one marriage into something else or a past relationship. And sometimes we might be living in the past and we need to live in the present, you know, because sometimes that can bring a damper on a marriage. And also we have other situations that also cause problems in marriages, which are things like, excuse me, financial issues. You know, sometimes, you know, the woman's making more than the man, or the man is making more than the woman, or you have situations where, you know, a woman or the man is starting their own business and they don't have that support that they would like from that significant other, and it's just a lot. So, you know, it's so many different aspects to deal with, you know, and then you have the situations where the man thinks that, okay, she's my trophy, I'm going to impregnate her, then nobody can have her. Or, oh, she said that she's going to give me some when we get married. So he literally got married to her just so he can get some and then realize that's not the woman he wants. It's crazy, man. You know, the things that people do. And also, I'm going to tell you, there's sometimes you have the lesbian young ladies that are in the military and the homosexual males that are in the military, and they get married. Maybe I shouldn't be putting this information out there, but they
do,
get married
for benefits.
For benefits to get that extra money,
yeah.
You know?
I know somebody who did that.
You know, they get married to get that extra money, or sometimes people get married, you know, for that green card, you know?
And that I
you
see
know,
often.
You know,
and I had a friend that did that, too.
$12,000. They paid off
green
one of my neighbors 12 jeans just to get the green card.
Hey,
you know,
if I would have known that, I would have married that person when I was 21. I'm just kidding, no. Government. Please don't come get me.
You so silly.
For real, you know, don't come get us now. No, but real talk, though, I mean, there's so many different aspects of getting married. And we just pray and just ask of you, like, if you do get married, make sure you're getting married for the right reasons. Make sure you know the ins and outs of that person. Make sure you take time to become friends before you want to jump into a marriage. Marriage can be the end of you or the beginning of you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So should people live together before they get married?
I think so.
My thing, I think you should live together, you know. People say, you know, oh, shacking up or whatever. But my thing is, like, how can you honestly really know how a person truly is and how you can really deal with them if you don't live with them? Because if you don't live with them, okay, you finally get to them, you're like, dang, this dude's a pig. Man, he didn't act like this when we went out on dates. You get to already experience the way that they are. And then you said, can I deal with this? You know, before, I say, if you get engaged and you said you're a fiancé, live with each other so you can see how they really truly are and then make judgments for that. And then after you realize, okay, this is the person I'll be with, then continue to go on and move forward with the marriage. But if you realize that, man, I can't deal with these bad habits, I can't deal with this, this is how this person really is, then at least you got heads up before you took the drastic step. Because really, divorces are expensive, okay? Divorces are expensive, they're timely, and at the end of the day, for some women like me, I didn't get hardly anything out of it. I didn't get anything out of it except for a beautiful young lady, which is my daughter, and I'm still fighting the courts for child support. So...
I think it should be like $1,000 to get married and then $50 to get divorced instead of $50 to get married and $1,000 to get divorced.
Wow.
I think people think twice before getting married. They'll be like, is this man worth me paying $1,000?
For real.
Think
crazy.
About it. In New York, your marriage certificate is like $45, $50
mm-hmm.
top. But when you mm-hmm. want to get a divorce, you got to talk about, what, $1,000 to file some papers?
Not even just that. The wait. You got to wait. Like, you got to be separated for a whole year. Like, I thought it was a year, but now it's like almost like 2 years in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia area before you can even get the full divorce.
So
you know?
Reconciliation. What is it? Irreconcilable differences among a
valid. Yes, it's irreconcilable differences. That's what everybody
yes.
always fights.
Yeah.
Irreconcilable differences, you can't even, I don't even think you can file adultery anymore. Like, they won't even, they said just irreconcilable differences. You can't file adultery anymore nowadays, I think.
Wow.
You know, because they keep on saying that's like the easy way out. So it's basically like, it's crazy. And even when I found out that my ex-husband was married before and didn't get the divorce, that's null and void due to the judicial system, but due to the fact that he was married in Queens with the other young lady, they couldn't release the for public document because it was kind of too early. So they refused to release it unless he applied. So he actually, when they asked him that question, once he married, he pleaded the fifth. you know, at court.
What?
So, you know, so it's crazy. I mean, it's a lot of tedious process, and it can be hurtful if you have children. So when it comes to being married, please decide on the right person. Know yourself, love yourself,
yeah.
And find your commitment to God in some way, or that higher power, or whoever you do pray with to, you know, just find yourself and be complete with yourself before you step into an engagement with somebody else, your significant other. And really, a year, 2 months, really still isn't long enough for you to really get to know somebody,
nope.
You know. So don't think that it's a rush in 2-3 months that you know that's that person. Really get to know them, because it's not a game out here. People are psychos, they're killers, they're abusers. Find out about these people,
yeah.
Man. Seriously.
And don't
you know?
Run up to Vegas and get married either.
Google your niggas, people, your women.
You know,
the celebrities don't help,
though.
The celebrities don't help either. You see all these celebrities, you know, like, who was it? Somebody got married. I think it was Britney Spears got married.
It was for 52 seconds. For 50, like 15 hours or something
like
that.
72 hours or something like that. That she got a
mm-hmm.
divorce. How
mm-hmm.
stupid can you be? Like, come on.
Yeah. So you know.
I think Pamela Anderson pulled the same stunt. She got married with some dude that she met.
Well, that was,
24 hours later.
Her.
Got divorced 3 months later. I mean, that's
mm-hmm.
that's ridiculous. And then you got all these fancy, schmancy weddings, you know. I mean, I got caught out there, you know, with the dresses and the shopping and the big cakes and all this other stuff. It was supposed to be a small wedding of 50 people, not even 25 people. It winded up being 150 people. You get caught up with the
glitter and the glamour.
And the glamour, you know, that you forget what you're stepping into. You know, it's almost like a fashion show.
I told my one friend, I told her, she wanted to get married, and she wanted to be married. And I told her, I said, if you don't have a marriage, what good is having a wedding without having the marriage? You know, if you're not, you guys are not getting along right now, marriage is not going to make it any better.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to make it harder for you guys to get away from each other.
Yeah, and that's the truth, man. Communication, understanding, loving, and having oneness with yourself and being complete with yourself before you step into that eternal bond of marriage is something that you guys need to think about if you're trying to step out into it. If you check out the Tyler Perry movie, Why Did I Get Married To, make sure you watch the first one. And you got a situation where, you know, Tyler Perry touches on different aspects on, you know, just two people living in a miserable marriage, just two people, basically strangers, not knowing each other. And, you know, you have another pair, you know, untrusting of one another, you know, due to different situations. And then you have another pair where, you know, she feels like she's not being showed enough attention anymore. She's a attention seeker, and she tries to find attention with a coworker and things like that. It's, you know, it's different aspects where you feel like you're not beautiful enough for your husband anymore, and, you know, you try to find that Stella's got a groove back. Just different aspects. And he touched on different things, and I commend him on it. Some things I thought were kind of cliche, you know, repetitive, but I think he did a great job, excellent job on this show and, on this movie. And I implore everybody to check it out and tell us what you think about Why Did I Get Married To. And I salute him for doing the movie. And since we have a couple of more seconds left, I implore you all guys to log on to www.streetcleansmovement.ning.com and, you know, sign up and, you know, leave comments and everything like that. Each and every birthday, we do the show, and we talk about different things in the community. We talk about alcoholism, and we talked about why do people get married. We shared our different experiences. Next week, Thursday, we're going to have Jackie O live on the line doing an exclusive listening party on her mixtape. And we're also going to have Rod Digger on the line and Adonis And we're going to also have other young ladies on the line. And we're going to be just talking about just women in the industry and just women in business and, you know, just talking next week. Doing our queen thing that we do, enlightening and talking and helping other young ladies. So real quick, ladies, what's your final thoughts on marriage and just this show in general for the people? Real quick, ladies, I'm going to go to Natalia because she knows I call on her all the time.
Well, just make sure it's the right. Take your time. And make sure you make the right decisions. You have to let your children first before you do anything. But I know a lot of us have to hurt, but it doesn't mean that there's not the right person out there for us. You just might take some time to find that person.
That's what it is.
Well, my last thought is don't be so scared of the thought of being married. You know, a lot of people get scared when you say married. You get married, I ain't getting married. No, it's actually a beautiful unity. It's a union between two people it's supposed to be a union between two people that really love each other, understand each other, and want to help one another. You know, so don't be afraid. It is a beautiful thing. Just know what you're getting yourself into. Make sure this person gets along with their family, their mother. You know, see how they are with children. See how they are with women. What are their religious thoughts and things like that. Get to know them first. You know, take that time out and really parlay and speak to one another before, you know, actually jumping a gun and getting married. It's a beautiful thing. There's no reason why people should be afraid of it.
That's what it is. Ebony? Ebony?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hello? Okay. I would just say that, you know, exactly what Lissette just said, you know the person who you're about to be in a relationship with and decide, and not only don't be afraid to love, but don't be afraid to get out of it, you know. Sometimes we see signs and we just overlook them, you know. I would say if you're in longer-term relationships and you break up for whatever reason, take some time out for yourself. Don't go from relationship to relationship to relationship because you have a fear of being alone. Spend time with yourself, figure out who you are, and know what you're going to accept and what you're not going to accept, because that's the only way. Having standards and having the next man raise, you know, have the bar raised for the next man can give you a better outcome on a relationship. You know the signs. Know that when, you know, what ticks your new dude off. You know, when he gets mad, how does he respond? You know, there's different things. Figure out, you know, is he all about you? Does he, like, worship you? Because that's not necessarily a good thing. You know, that shows that that man might have some insecurities, you know. So pay attention to the person, that male or female, because women do that too. You know, if your man is checking your cell phone, you know, or asking you why you smell like this, it's perfume or cologne or whatever the case may be, when, you know, you've been out late or checking up on you and things of that nature, you know, those are things that you need to be aware of, because you don't need another daddy. You need a companionship and you need a partner. So, you know, I would just say don't be afraid to get out of something that you know that's not right for you. But if you find that right person, then love.
That's what it is. That's what it is. That was some real stuff right there from Ebony and just all the beautiful young ladies. Shout out to everybody that definitely listens and supports. Shout out to Money Out and King that came through to support us. Shout out to everybody. Street Queens, the movement. We're definitely, you know, doing some things over here, definitely supporting our community. Just to let you guys know, it's a whole bunch of different things going on. Like I said, tomorrow, this week, Hedonis has a show going down in Philly, and it's called She's Got Talent at Club Sky in Philadelphia. So if you're in the Philadelphia area, if you're able to go, make sure you support her. Tell us and the Street Queen sent you. And also hit her up on Twitter at Hedonis the Amazon, and ask her for more details. Also, Hot or Not is going down tomorrow, and we're going to have, you know, a lot of upcoming artists. We're going to have Shy Stimuli, upcoming artist, but he's doing his thing in the industry, and we're going to have French Montana signed to Akon. He's going to be live on the show tomorrow on Friday, so we're doing our thing on Lush Radio Online. And shout out to Street Kingpin. I was talking to him earlier today. And shout out to him. He's doing his thing out there on the street promo. And Court DJ's Retreat is going down in May in Orlando, Florida. So if you want to get your networking on, you can either ask Natalia of Street Queens information about that, or you can get hit up at Street King Street Kingpin on Twitter and hit him up about more information, or you can hit up Core DJs on Twitter to find out more information about that. But you can definitely hit up Natalia, and she'll give you more information about the Core DJs Retreat that's going down in May. Ladies, you know, we know Natalia has a new boo-boo, so, you know, we want to shout out the new boo-boo and everything. The new boo-boo.
And I'm Natalia and her new boo-boo.
So tell us the rest of the things that's new for you, boo-boo.
Let's go. You guys are dumb. And we out.
He said he's loving life right now, Lush. That was the... I'm translating to her. She's loving life.
She's loving life. Natalia's in love. He loves her. Dang, who hit the whistle like that? That was some real stuff right there. I wish I could whistle like that. But, Lisette, what's new with you, boo-boo? Tell us what's new with you.
My new is my new website, LisetteTorres.BuildLastingSuccess.com. I'm going to show you a video, and you get to fire your own boss. So if you check out my video, you'll know exactly how to get rid of your day job. Holla.
All right.
That's what it is. That's what it is. You already know what it is. Lisette is always thinking about something new, innovative. Lisette is on the ball. That's what it is.
I'm like, brother,
and
I'm
Ebony. Ebony, what's your new boo-boo?
My new is that I'm proud of my daughter. She is enrolled in college, and she just got her car, so.
Wow.
Yes.
Hey.
And she scares me like crazy when she's driving.
Mini-Me Street Queen, hello.
Yay, shout out to the Mini-Me Street Queen that's doing her thing out there. Salute to her. Yay. Also, coming up since it's May and people are graduating from high school, you know, Street Queens of Movement always does a thing where we give $200 towards a high school student towards their prom and stuff. So we give it to them and we ask them to write an essay talking about what does education mean to them. So basically, if you know any young ladies that are in the high school level, let us know. Email us at streetqueensmovement@gmail.com. And we'll definitely get back to you, and we'll be reading out the essays, and we'll see who qualifies for it. And we'll actually have the winner live on the show, and we'll also read their essay live on the show. So definitely, that's what we do, you know what I'm saying? We support our ladies and support the community in general, and we support men, too. Salute to our kings out here that definitely support a strong woman out here in this, you know, in this struggle of everyday life. You know, stay tuned with us each and every Thursday at 8 o'clock, calling at 347-826-7722. And I want to say peace to you and always keep God forward. You know, whatever breaks you makes you stronger. I love all of you ladies. Love you guys. I'm going to talk to you guys on the flip side. We're out of here. Keep on winning. No matter
what. Peace, Queen.
Be out of here. Keep winning, no matter what. Like I said, I'm out of here. Cause my head hurts. Bye. Look, Street Queens of Movement.
They don't give a damn about you. Kick you in the face when you down.
Yeah.
So many people doubted me. Well, I'm on time looking now.